Dealers meddling with the pedal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today, Toyota dealers start getting the fix for gas pedal issues it has with millions of its cars and trucks. We're also going to get an idea of the toll this latest recall has taken on sales for Toyota. January figures for all the car makers are due out today. They're expected to fall for the 14th straight month. A preview this morning from Marketplace's Amy Scott, who joins us live from our New York bureau. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Steve.
So what are the expectations here of how this gas pedal issue is going to affect sales for Toyota?
Well, it is expected to make a dent, mostly because Toyota actually stopped selling 8 of its most popular models last week because of those faulty gas pedals. I talked with analyst Eric Merkel with AutoEconomy.com about the sales figures coming out today, and he says Toyota is probably going to take what he called a pretty massive hit.
But I want to see who actually gains as a result, because it's my expectation that Honda will probably be the largest beneficiary, and we could actually see some of the sales going to GM and Ford as well.
Amy, those companies are trying to lure Toyota customers with these extra incentives, right?
Right, but Honda hasn't yet, and Merkel says there's so much overlap between Honda and Toyota customers that Honda probably doesn't have to offer these sorts of incentives. Toyota is, as you said, starting to fix the recalled cars this week. It will restart production of those 8 models next week, but these repairs are expected to take months, so it may be February and March sales that really tell us how much this has damaged the brand.
We shall see. Marketplace's Amy Scott reporting live from New York. Amy, thanks.
You're welcome.
Investors will be watching cars and houses today. In addition to auto sales, the National Association of Realtors reports on pending home sales for December. Let's do the numbers. Markets in Europe have swung into positive territory today, around 0.5%. Investors in Asia, not quite sure how long recovery will hold. Australia's central bank kept interest rates steady. Stocks closed mixed in Asia today. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P gained a percent and a half, and the NASDAQ and Dow also added more than a percent. The Dow ended the day at 10,185. Sure, technically the recession may be over, but people working at a lot of local courthouses don't seem to be feeling it. A surge of recession-related cases and state budgets in the red are forcing local court systems to the breaking point. Reporter Jay Field has more.
The mortgage crisis has hit the Chicago suburbs especially hard over the past year. In Lake County, north of the city, a surge of mortgage defaults has doubled foreclosures in some middle and upper middle class communities. As a result, Associate Judge Mitchell Hoffman with the 19th Illinois Circuit Court in Waukegan ended up with scores of additional cases.
All the foreclosure cases would come into courtroom 302 on Wednesday mornings.
But before too long, Judge Hoffman found he couldn't handle them all by himself.
And we would have to have 2 or 3 other judges pitch in with the call and send cases down to every courtroom on this hallway.
We're talking hundreds of people every Wednesday morning crowded into this small hallway. So court officials began sending all undisputed foreclosure cases to a smaller traffic court nearby. Daniel Hall with the National Center for State Courts says the scene has been repeated in courtrooms across the country as the recession claims victims on a broad scale.
Not only did you have the foreclosure cases, but you have contract disputes that have gone up 37%. You've got assaults and family cases that are rising in states like New York. And so you have a cumulative impact of these kind of cases flooding the courts, you know, at the same time when budgets are being cut.
In Illinois, officials are struggling with a growing stack of unpaid bills and a deficit projected to top $11 billion this year. State courts face a $21 million budget cut. Next door, in Iowa, that state's chief justice warned of assembly line justice, where cases could get short shrift.
The big risk is that you're going to have people losing their homes
who might otherwise have been able to keep them. Some states are trying to consolidate and restructure their court systems, but no amount of restructuring is likely to spare more homeowners and lots of other people already in pain from more. In Waukegan, Illinois, I'm Jay Field for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the allnewlendingtree.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at Microsoft.com/cloud services.
Tonight's the premiere of the final season of Lost. It's a cross between Gilligan's Island and Dostoevsky. The plot involves a bunch of castaways trying to solve a constant stream of puzzles. That makes it a little tough to follow. It's not a formula that's typically thrived on television. So what's the magic behind Lost? Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
Instead of dumbing down the show to reach the masses, Lost borrowed from cable TV's business model and cultivated a small but devoted audience. Joe Adalian is TV editor for TheWrap.com, which covers the entertainment industry. He commends ABC for setting an end date for the show.
Too often TV shows sort of linger on well past their actual expiration date, and the product quality definitely declines. Fans sort of get disinterested.
The series will end in a few months, but Adalian expects network suits will milk it for years.
ABC and its owner Disney sort of see Lost as a much bigger property. I think they see it as a long-term franchise, not unlike, say, Star Wars or Star Trek, that can live on for 20 or 30 years.
Not everyone wants a sequel. Fan Ryan Ozawa likes the finality of the series.
It's going to be one great package, an epic, basically, that we can study like the Iliad for the rest of our lives.
For fans who don't like to study, there's also talk of turning Lost into an amusement park ride. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Finally, there aren't a whole lot of groundhogs in Alaska, so the legislature there passed a bill last year authorizing today as Marmot Day. Now they have their own version of weather rodent. Just think of the marketing possibilities. Marmot sweatshirts and parkas. Could a Bill Murray movie be in the works? I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.